This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Just wanted to address something that was in the paper today. Story by Andrew Marchand.
Well, I didn't look at the paper. I missed anything?
Yeah, you did. And it said that, you know, I'm paraphrasing, I was going to retire at the end of the contract. Well, let me just put it to you this way. My contract is up at the end of September. There has been no decision made one way or the other. And I promise you that when a decision is made one way or the other, you, the listeners to this show, will be the first to know. And I can honestly tell you that there is no decision that has been made. Absolutely none. So you'll hear it here first, what the decision is, whether or not I continue on for a 22nd season or whether I decide to retire. But none of those decisions have been made. And I just want you to know, you would be first to know. You wouldn't have to read about it in the newspaper, on the internet. So that's all there is to it. And I didn't want to have that story out there and not at least address it. So I'm addressing it, and there's nothing to me retiring at this point. My contract is over at the end of September. I will make a decision closer to that, and sooner rather than later, and you'll know when I do make it. All right? There we go.
Wow. That's
good.
Well done. Good coverage right there.
There you go. I do want Don and Peter to know, though, I have made an agreement with the company that if I do, in fact, step away, the name of the show will be remaining the Michael K. Show.
Even if you leave?
Even if I leave, yes. Wow.
Then I'll be retiring.
Really?
Because my contract's up the same time as yours, so.
So if it's still called the Michael K. Show, that would anger you.
It would anger me to the point where I'd leave, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's great working with you all.
The Yankees made another hire today, hiring former Met GM Omar Minaya, who's a really good guy. It's essentially the same role as Brian Sabian has. The title is Senior Advisor to Baseball Operations. No, this doesn't mean that anybody's forcing Brian Cashman out. This is another really steady, veteran baseball ear that Brian can bounce things off of, or Brian could listen to their recommendations. Now, the one thing that I think the two hires do tell you is that they do want to get more of a feel of boots on the ground rather than numbers in a computer. So I think that Sabian and Minaya, in addition to Tim Nehring, who already works there and has a high-ranking job, they do have people that, you know, scout with the eyes more so than with the numbers. But there's still a numbers-based operation. And I just think that it's a really smart move by the New York Yankees. The more smart people you could bring in, the better information Brian's going to get.
True.
And to consider to make decisions.
All I was saying yesterday, Michael, or I guess it was Tuesday when they hired Sabian, is I don't believe that Brian Cashman's job is in jeopardy or that any of these guys are going to take it. But what I'm saying is whether it's Brian admitting it himself or the Yankee organization outside of Brian are saying that we were going to have to change our ways a little bit. I think the status quo is not working. So we want to bring in some people that maybe aren't from the analytic world, that are more, you know, baseball lifers who look at things a little bit differently and be part of the fray. I think that's fair, you know, but to say that it's just, oh, it's Brian just trying to get better. Yeah, technically. But I think it's also showing you that the way they've been doing it over the last few years isn't good enough. And they need different people and different ideas inside that room. And I think it's a good idea.
But you think that Brian Cashman thinks that what they're doing isn't good enough? I mean, because these guys have been hired by Brian Cashman, not by Hal Steinbrenner.
Right. Well, I was saying it's either Hal or Brian himself who's like, maybe I've got to change my ways a little bit. Maybe I need to have a different way of looking at it. Because they have not made the playoffs, and you went and got two former general managers. Pretty good ones. I mean, Sabian's going to go to the Hall of Fame, I think. And, you know, say what you want about Omar Minaya. He's had some success in Major League Baseball with the Mets. I thought he did a pretty good job with the Expos. So you're not bringing in nobody. You're not bringing in guys that have just been around baseball a long time. You're bringing in guys that have done Brian's job that he is going to bounce things off of. So clearly what he felt he was doing maybe wasn't enough, or maybe Hal felt that it wasn't enough. In 72 hours, hire two former general managers to be advisors. That's pretty interesting to me after what was another season that the Yankees looked at as being unsuccessful.
Yeah, but again, we can go back and forth on this. You know, this is just a really smart play to get more smart people in the room. Now, if you want to interpret that as thinking, well, the people we have aren't smart enough, I disagree with you. I just think that Brian's always looking for an edge, and the Yankees' monetary advantage, they could hire as many people in the front office as they want.
No,
they could hire the best
can.
Guys out of MIT to be analysts, so they can do that.
See, that's the hidden thing of the big market clubs, right? They can have more scouts. They could have more advisors than a lot of other teams can because this doesn't count towards any revenue sharing.
Right.
Right? Even if they put in a salary cap, this wouldn't count towards that. No, it's smart. But I don't think they're doing this had they won the World Series this year.
Why not?
I don't think they would. I mean, we could agree to disagree.
The Astros changed the GM.
Well, changes happen all the time, even after winning. I find it interesting that let's say a pretty stubborn franchise that still doesn't really kind of resist change goes out and hires two really good former general managers advisors after what was another failed season in their eyes. So I choose to look at it as them being forward thinking, saying not that they're not smart enough, but maybe we need to look at things a little bit differently. Maybe we need, as you said, more boots on the ground. Because what we've been doing hasn't resulted in what we wanted.
Yeah,
I think we're saying the same thing, Michael. I'm just I don't think there's anything wrong with a general manager saying maybe I need to do more.
Well, Brian has relationships with both of these guys. Like if he went outside his sphere, I might lean more toward what you're saying. I just think he's comfortable bringing in smart people. Great leaders bring in smart people. In fact, great leaders want to bring in people smarter than them.
Sure. But he's never gotten to this point. As you said, he brought in Kevin Towers. He's brought in
Jim Hendry.
These are two pretty significant general managers that he's brought in within 3 days. All right? Sabian and Omar Minaya, I think, are two really good general managers that I think could very well be general managers of teams right now. And make those teams successful. So they're pretty significant hires, Michael. I think, and it's good for them. I think they're better off for it.
The only thing I would disagree with you, you're making out to be really a big thing, and I just think it's additive. It's let's get smarter. Let's bring more brains in here. Let's bring in more opinions. It's not earth shattering to me.
Okay. I find it very interesting in a short period of time. To go out and get these kind of significant names.
All right, it's time now for Peter to maybe cook again.
Oh, good.
Mike in Connecticut has a problem with him.
Yeah, I think if I don't want you to retire, maybe it should be Peter because you're totally losing us here. You know, a couple weeks ago, I called and I was the yo-yo caller of the day because I suggested that the Giants were comparable to the Commanders, and then after the Giants tied, you said, well, really, they're totally superior, but the thing that makes up the difference between them is the difference at quarterback play, which is a huge gap. And now you're saying that they're basically at the same table. I mean, if there's ever a fraud, this is it. I have no idea what you're thinking. I don't think anyone in the audience knows. I mean, it's okay if you're biased for the Commanders. You're just really bad at it.
Hold on. So real quick, just a question. So what table do you think Daniel Jones is sitting at? Like, let's break the quarterbacks down. There's the 1 through 5 table. There's the 6 through 10 table. There's 11 through 15 table. 16 through 20 table. What table? We did the math the other day. What table do you think Daniel Jones is sitting at?
Well, I think if you would divide it into four in the NFL, four quadrants, I think that Daniel's in the second and Heineke's in the third. They're different tiers. You could try to make the groupings exactly how you want to put them in the same, but I mean, they could be in the same grouping of 32 if you want. I mean, if you want to do it like that, I don't know. And the other thing that I have a huge issue with you is that you kept saying about Thibodeau that, you know, if he would just apologize and say that he didn't know and move on, then it would be over. He literally did that after the game. He got up and said, he didn't apologize. He said, I didn't know he was there. And they did not give it up on him. So you coming on and saying, you know, if he would do that, then everything would be okay. But this is the problem with the New York media. You guys.
Did he apologize?
No, he said he didn't know about it. And then you guys start bringing up all his checkered past. He hasn't done one thing the whole year. You make stories out of nothing. And if you want to know, in 2 years, it becomes a whole thing. It's because of New York media, because he hurt your feelings.
New York media.
He hurt your feelings when you went to interview you.
Please.
Because you're too soft.
Genius, let me get a second to talk here. Number one, Daniel Jones has played 16 games. In those 16 games, he's thrown for 3,200 yards. He's thrown for 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Taylor Heineke's played 9 games. He's thrown for, let me get the exact number here. Because you think they're in such different categories. And then I'll get to your absurd point about Thibodeau, which is ridiculous. Heineke's played 9 games. He's thrown for 1,900 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. Both can run. Jones has run more effectively. You can think that's totally different levels, pal. I think they're sitting at the same table. Daniel Jones has a higher ceiling. Daniel Jones has a higher ceiling. Daniel Jones has a higher ceiling and a bigger arm. No doubt about it. I've said that repeatedly. But for you to think they're on different levels, hey, dude, give him $40 million. Knock yourself out. I don't care. Give him a Kyler Murray contract if that's what you want. But I wouldn't do that.
No, I want to know what you meant. I want to know what you meant, because you said that the reason why the teams were even though there was a huge gap in talent, was because Daniel Jones bridged that gap at quarterback. So I want to know what you meant.
I just said it.
You're not explaining yourself.
I just said it.
You just brought up the numbers.
Because Daniel Jones has a much stronger arm than Taylor Heineke. But I still think they're sitting. I still think they're sitting at the same table. You're getting into nuance about stuff that's irrelevant. Who cares? I'm saying Jones is better. I'm just saying if you think he's that much better, I think you're delusional. Give him $50 million if that's what you want. Moving on to the Kayvon Thibodeau thing. Thibodeau, what he said after the game is inconsequential. It was brought up again yesterday that Jeff Saturday had a problem with what he did. And he took that opportunity to double down on his decision to do it, to say, I don't know who's the arbiter of what's okay, implying that what he did was okay. Then diminished an incredible player by saying he's never heard of him. You tell me how Thibodeau dressed himself in honor and how he handled it yesterday.
No, but literally when you say your biggest problem with him is that he should have just come out and moved on and apologized, and you're a man and you know how to apologize, and you've done it before.
But he didn't apologize. Mike, wait a minute.
He said he didn't apologize.
He said he did not know that he was injured. He did not know. He didn't apologize. He didn't say, I'm sorry I did it. He does that clown move every time he sacks somebody, Mike. Stop it. You're just being arrogant, okay? Yeah. Because he didn't apologize. You're spinning words. He said, I didn't know he was injured. He didn't say I was wrong to do that. Even if he wasn't injured, there and do snow angels for 10 seconds, he should have a flag thrown on him for taunting.
And this is where I really start to despise sports. There's no bigger Giant fan than me. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give any support to Thibodeau. I like him as a player. What he did was wrong, and he didn't apologize. So to blindly support Thibodeau because he happens to wear the uniform that you like, that's just ignorant. I could still love the Giants and still love his game and still say he was wrong. He never apologized. Acknowledging that he didn't see that he was hurt is not apologizing. He had a golden opportunity to say, I didn't realize he was hurt. It was probably the wrong thing to do. I apologize that it was taken that way. Instead, he doubles down on it and then acts like an ignoramus by saying he doesn't know who Jeff Saturday is and the opinion of the head coach of the opposition's team doesn't matter because he doesn't know who he is. I'm sorry. Wrong. And has nothing to do with how we were treated at camp because we weren't treated poorly.
No.
He didn't talk to us.
Not at all.
He berated the PR director for saying it went too long. And I noticed it and thought, boy, what a jerk he's being right now to somebody that's an underling of his for something that we didn't do anything wrong or he didn't do anything wrong and shouldn't be berated that way or talked to that way. He didn't talk to us that way.
No.
So we're not sensitive about it at all. Got to get your facts straight, man. Gotta get it.
That's what annoyed me so much about that call. He called up with such arrogance on two topics. One, you're arguing with the wall because I'm not even saying you act as if I'm saying Heineke's better than Jones. Absolutely not. I'm saying that Jones is better. I just don't think there's a huge gap between them. I wouldn't give Jones a ton of money. I wouldn't give Taylor Heineke a ton of money.
But would I take
Jones over him? Sure I would. So one argument that the guy makes, completely faulty. He's arguing with the wall. Then you want to follow up with Thibodeau and say, oh, all you want to do is apologize. But he didn't apologize. Don't be that guy. Don't be the guy who, just because you're a Giants fan, thinks the guy does no wrong. It's absurd.
He was wrong, period.
Now, he did suggest he wants you to retire. So what's the chance of that happening?
Well, you know, listen, if I retire, like today, for example, Marchand gave Michaels the speculation of his retirement, like Don, like 18 inches. If I announce today mid-show, not only am I retiring, but I'm committing suicide in Times Square. It's going to be a huge, sorry, that's the wrong way to put it. I'm going to do some sort of huge act. I'm going to jump off of the Empire State Building onto a net. I'll bounce up and land on the Freedom Tower. It wouldn't get mentioned in the paper tomorrow. It would be come after an article about Steve Summers getting a new summertime boat off the coast.
What coast?
I don't know. Maybe the Hawaiian coast.
No, but if you guys always have one problem that you have with Andrew, that he diminishes your role, and he didn't today.
What do you mean?
He said, I think he said, either use the phrase co-host or...
Wow.
Michael's the guys that Michael does the show with.
Thank you.
He didn't diminish it. He didn't say, like, lackey or something like
that. No, he doesn't do that.
He didn't say Robin Quivers or...
No, he doesn't.
Which always annoys you, and I think it's a compliment, but...
It's not, and you know it's not.
Robin Quivers is a star.
No, she's the distant second star. If that's how you view Don as the distant second.
I view Don as a really unpatriotic brother. That's how I look at Don. I love Don.
By the way,
he just doesn't love this country. He loves Montreal instead.
I just say one thing, though.
Sure.
Is anyone fascinated with this story that came out about Michael in the paper? Anyone fascinated with how this leak, who the source is for this supposed story?
I'm fascinated. That's why I gave a big fat no comment.
And someone said to me,
it was you.
You know, someone said to me, maybe it's Michael. Michael's playing games.
Reveal yourself to me.
And I said, you know what? I'd actually entertain that, except I don't think Michael's that high on Marchand these days. I don't think he'd give him the scoop.
No, I'm not high on Marchand. And the scoop deserves to be given on the air.
That's ESPN right. Continues to pursue an extension, and there is a chance that he could make it so with his worth his while as he remains on the program that bears his name with partners. Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg.
That's beautiful.
Wow, thank
partners.
You.
No, listen, he did the right thing.
We're all partners. We're all equals
but
here.
But I'm not going to applaud just doing the right thing.
So what did you want him to do?
No, I'm just saying that he did what he was supposed to do. I'm not going to sit there and applaud him because other people don't do the right thing and don't mention us or call us lackeys or hold the water or whatever they call or refer us to. The fact that he got it right, it's a clean ground ball to second with a throw to the chest of the first baseman.
So it's the 4-3.
That doesn't make a highlight on SportsCenter.
Well, I mean, if Steve Sachs or Knobloch did it, then it would be a big deal. And Peter, I would like to know what frauds, low-life animals actually suggested that I leaked that story?
Well,
how does that behoove me?
Wait a minute.
I can't.
Those
I
stupid can't. Morons. How would that behoove me to leak that story?
Michael, you can't argue that your name is on the table.
No, you, Michael.
When they're gathering up the suspects, you're getting one
Michael,
of them.
This is Clue. If this is Clue, you're in there, okay?
Okay, wait a second. All right, you two know me as well as anybody.
Sure.
How does that behoove me? How does that benefit Michael? Because I only care about me. How does that benefit Michael?
Do you want me to answer? It's so obvious and easy.
I don't think you should, Peter.
What do you mean, how does it benefit you? That would be a completely reasonable tactic if you were trying to get certain things from the company.
Right.
That is literally standard negotiation 101, to leak something out there so when it becomes a big issue, it forces the hand of the company. That's standard issue.
I'm not trying to force the hand of anybody.
I know
you both know the real story.
As long as you know
the real story, why would you even consider that I would leak it?
I am
ticked off at Marchand for his criticism of the judge calls. Why would I give him anything?
That's the answer.
Well, by the way, that was my response. I immediately said to this person, because I don't. Well, the only thing I'm defending is the person who suggested it. You said they're a moron. It's not moronic to suggest it.
Right.
I just quickly said, no, it's not that.
All right, let me take that back. Let me take that back about moron.
Here we go.
Cretin. Okay, is that better? A cretin.
Yes, but
that's strong.
The point is the detective on the case, as he's trying to gather evidence and talk to people, you're a suspect. There's no way around that. You're going to be a suspect. Now, you could eventually be ruled out for all the reasons that you said, but as you're getting a list of suspects, you're going to be there. Right?
Has
just
to
like
be.
Peter and I would be there.
Oh, I'm there. I'm absolutely there, except, you know, I don't like Marshawn either.
But I'm not giving Andrew anything. Zip, zero, nada. Never did, never will.
Even though he called you a partner?
That's great.
Well, but because he accurately depicted the situation? Again, what are we going to applaud?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We have the co-owner of the Islanders. He wants to call in.
Oh, I love this guy.
John Ledecky, who really, yeah. I mean, it was a major flex yesterday to get these things out. Personalized, too.
And also, and this is no exaggeration, his daughter is one of the greatest female athletes on the planet.
I think it's his niece.
I'm sorry. Niece.
And who is she? Katie Ledecky, right?
Swimmer, Olympic swimmer. Who I think was named the female athlete of the year.
From? Montgomery County, Maryland.
Oh.
I'd like to just say the United States of America. We'll be back with John Ledecky.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We saw that the fraud that he is, Dave Rothenberg, had received an Islander personalized jersey, which he refused to put on because he's a Ranger fan. And Peter and I were somewhat hurt, and then Peter put the jersey on for the whole show.
I was there for that.
I wasn't hurt. I was disgusted.
You were not there for that, Don. I mean, you were not in the studio with us, I'm saying. You were on the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so we said, you know, we deserve to get the jerseys because we would wear them. Don can't because he's the voice of the Rangers, but and then amazingly, I find it amazing, there were these jerseys at my house for my kids and my wife. They were at the studio for Don and Peter, and they were all personalized. I mean, we were talking about this, what, Peter, about 5 o'clock? Maybe a little earlier, in the 3 o'clock hour.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. I put it on the 3 o'clock.
So this tells you that the Islanders are an incredibly buttoned-up organization, mm-hmm. that somebody's running the show and doing the right thing. And we appreciate their generosity. I'm wearing the jersey right now. And one of the co-owners of the Islanders, John Ledecky, joins us now. And, John, I just have to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was such a generous package of Islander gear that you sent to my house and sent to the studio. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart.
Well, thank you, Michael. And, of course, I did that because I've been a big fan of Jody Applegate when she was on TV in New York, where I've been living most of my life. So I figured I could do something nice for her at the same time I get to know you.
She was blown away that you even considered, like, sending. I mean, because I never even mentioned sending something for Jody. So for those that tuned in late, John and the Islanders sent an Islander jersey with Applegate on the back. So that was really, really nice. And obviously, they're gorgeous jerseys, so I'm happy to wear it.
Well, thank you. The Islander fans are the most passionate fans in professional sports, and we're going to be celebrating our 1 millionth fan since the opening of UBS Arena this coming Tuesday night, so we're very excited about that. We don't know who that fan will be, but obviously they'll have a wonderful celebration on their behalf. And I remember that I heard that Peter came to the arena and didn't let me know he was even there.
I'm sorry.
Love meeting people who are in the media business and in the sports business. So next time you come, Peter, we'd love to host you in the owner's box and show you around. And thank you for raving on the air about our arena. I heard the show when you were talking about your visit there, and you said so many kind things about an arena that we got built during COVID. And that to me is a remarkable accomplishment of my partner's Scott Malkin and Dewey Shea. When I go by the shovel and it says September 2019 was when we broke ground,
wow.
to think that we opened the building, you know, on time in November of 21 is a great accomplishment. And it's a beautiful, as you know, state-of-the-art arena. But we decided we wanted to respect the traditions of the Nassau Coliseum, keeping it intimate and loud.
Yep.
The Nassau Coliseum had 90-foot ceilings. We have 93-foot ceilings. Not a bad seat in the house. The Bob Uecker seat, as I call it, was the most important seat for me to sit in, to see that the last seat in the arena had the same sight lines and great intimacy that the seats at the Nassau Coliseum had. So it's been a labor of love, and love your show. Listen to it when I'm moving around. So I was really not upset, but disappointed that we hadn't followed through, Michael, on a uniform for you. And as you said yesterday on the show, I'll wear the uniform of any team except the Mets because I'm the voice of the Yankees.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for my career if I put the Mets on. I got to tell you one thing, though, John. You got yourself a problem now because you invited Peter into the owner's box. He's going to be a tenant there. You're going to have him removed at some point. That was the wrong guy to give that invitation to.
Well, it goes without saying your family's invited as well. And Don, I know you're the backup voice or the one of the radio voices of the Rangers, and that makes it difficult for you. But you can come to some of the great concerts we're going to have at UBS Arena. Really excited that the Wall Street Journal did a story on acoustics of arenas and had us as the number one arena for acoustics, and really, really touched by the fact that Bruce Springsteen on his tour, the only building he's going to play twice on his entire tour coming up is UBS Arena because he's heard about the acoustics. So, you know, you can't come to an Islanders game, Don. Maybe you can come to a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Listen, I got to tell you, guys always treat me well, and I've called a couple of games there, and I've been all around the NHL, and this is one of the best buildings, and to be able to keep the tradition, you've done an absolute terrific job, John. I just wanted to ask about the fisherman jersey because it's really been kind of an interesting conversation among Islander fans. It's a gorgeous jersey, the reverse retro, but it also represents a really dark time in the franchise's history. So how has that jersey been received? Because it's beautiful, and there's a lot of fans that do love it, but it also harkens some really tough memories for some diehard Islander fans.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reverse retro jerseys was a program put in place by the NHL. And again, I think the fact that we have such good design folks working on the arena, they took those same talents to the uniform. So if you look carefully at the uniform, it's respecting the fisherman era, but it's really a new 2022-2023 take on that historical moment. And the players love the jersey. Players, we've won two in a row wearing the jersey. The players actually get a kick out of it. And if you look and compare it, Don, to the original fisherman jersey, you're going to see a lot of things that have been changed. And I think that's part of it, is that was an interesting era. But if you look at the other reverse retro jerseys, they're all coming from that period of time. Most of them are 90s based. Sure. And so we took that on, but we gave it a style and a classic fit and a fashion that has made it an unbelievable hit. We sold out the first day that we were open to sell the retro jersey by the league. We actually sold out. Young people who really constitute the millennial Gen Z audience that we need to get in sports for the next generation, they love it. They're wearing it. The baseball cap with the logo on it has sold out. So you walk around New York, you're seeing a lot of these jerseys and a lot of the other paraphernalia, the hats and whatnot, being worn by younger folks who are enjoying it and who think it's stylish and classic and cool. And that's what the sale of jerseys is all about. We've been ranked in the top. We started out as number one. I think we're still in the top five of the retro jersey sales nationwide. So it's been well received. But you're right, that was an interesting period of time in Islanders history.
Now, John, before we let you go, I just want you to know that you kind of owe a big thanks to John Sterling and myself.
Oh.
Because your brilliant broadcaster, Brendan Burke, his dad, Don Burke, used to cover the Yankees when John and I did Yankee games on the radio, and he brought Brendan to the ballpark one day. I think Brendan was 7 years old, and John and I had him sit between us, and he saw us doing the game, and he said to his father, he goes, "Do they get paid for that?" And Don said, "Yes," and Brendan goes, "Well, that's what I want to do for a living," and now he's the Islander voice, and he's great, so you're welcome.
Well, thank you. Brendan Burke and Butch Goring have been rated now number one television announcing crew for 3 years in a row. Brendan is a unbelievably rising star. He does credit his dad, and he has told me that story about being with you that day. And, you know, I can remember as a kid growing up in Brooklyn and Bayside putting the portable radio, under my pillow because I shared a room with my brother, and he was 3 years younger, and thinking one day, wow, maybe I could be a broadcaster. So I wanted to be a broadcaster when I was growing up as well, and I would fanboy and write letters to sports announcers, which looking back on it is kind of amusing. But to me, you know, it's an incredibly important job, how you communicate a team. And I have to admit, I watch every Yankee game, and Michael, I'm disappointed when you have a night off because the guys who fill in for you are terrific, but I just miss, there it goes! See ya!
Thank you.
That's just a great call, and you're working for, you know, to me, one of the great sports teams of all time in the Yankees. So, Peter, I didn't get a chance to say hi to you, but love you on Hot 97 and wish you the best of luck, and thank you again for coming to the arena and being a fan.
I will be back. I mean, it's funny, John. I was always a big fan of the Coliseum. I loved going to wrestling there. It had this very old school, intimate feel. And of course, since now you've hosted WWE and AEW, I'm excited to get to go check out WWE when they come back. Hopefully there'll be a premium live event there at some point soon. But yeah, you guys did a great job. You gave it that. What I like about it is it's in New York, but you get the sort of a small market experience. It feels like a real intimate home ice place to be. You guys did a great job.
Thank you, Peter. And just you mentioned something really important, which is the fans out there in the New York metro area have to know that we built the first train station in New York there in 51 years. You can go from Penn Station or Grand Central Station in 31 minutes to our game and to our concerts. So remember that. When you're thinking about, yes, it's got that small town feel, but it's a major market team and a major market arena. We're very excited about it. We appreciate you giving us the time, and thank you, Michael Kay, for wearing that jersey on air today. I really appreciate it. I'm watching the Yes simulcast, so I'm seeing you actually wearing it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all the gear. It was really generous and kind of you. I hope to get out to the arena. Everything I've heard about it is great. And good luck the rest of the way for
the
Islanders.
And we also want to apologize on behalf of David Rothenberg, who's an absolute cretin. We're sorry.
He's an animal.
Well, I wrote a note to him, I wrote a personal note to each person I got to send the jersey to. I wrote him a note saying I knew he was a Rangers fan. But we felt, you know, again, here's the great thing, right? New York, 13 professional sports teams. The only place that has three teams, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Islanders, and they're all playing great. And what we say about the Rangers is, if the Rangers are doing great, it's great for hockey in New York. If the Devils are doing great, it's great for hockey in New York. So the Rangers can always be one of our three favorite hockey teams in New York. And it's a great rivalry. And hopefully in the future, we'll be playing them more than three times a year. And Commissioner Bettman is working on that, which is exciting, because I think natural rivalries mean a lot in sports these days.
What an absolute joke that you're done with the Rangers. That makes no sense to me, John, at all. I think
that's the great thing about the National Hockey League, is that we listen to our shareholders. The fans are the shareholders of the National Hockey League. At least that's the way we see it. And I don't sit in the owner's box all that much. I rove around the building every night as the walking, you know, complaint and service department box, and I get 500 fans telling me what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong, and they want to see more rivalry games. So hopefully the league has heard that and we'll do something great about it.
All right, Islanders Edmonton tonight. You could hear it on 1050 ESPN, 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock the puck drops. And John, also, this jersey means a lot to me in another way too, because one of my idols and one of my close dearest friends is Rick DiPietro, and now I feel closer to him because I'm wearing the same jersey that he used to wear.
That's cool. That's very cool. And Ricky is doing a great job as well on the radio now. So we're excited about his career progression. And he certainly is very knowledgeable about our sport and other sports. So good for him and good for you. And, again, say hi to Jody and the family. And hope to see you at a game before the Yankees take you away to spring training and a full season next year.
All right. Thank you so much, John. Happy New Year. A little bit late, but and a thank you for all the gear as well.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
John Ledecky, Islanders co-owner and alternate governor, and really knowledgeable guy. Hot 97, Peter.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
Well, just think about the owners in New York. How many of them could really walk through the concourse and be embraced?
Dolan, for one. Just kidding. That was a joke.
No, but honestly, there's probably more that wouldn't do that or wouldn't feel comfortable doing that.
Well, doesn't Woody walk through the parking lot every game?
Listen, Woody's always. I've seen him.
Chris
sure.
did that, or Woody did that?
No, but Woody does it.
One of the craziest things, Peter. He came by to visit us when we used to do the pregame, like way deep in the parking lot. They put up like a tent and he sold merchandise. And Buttle, like swinging it, said he wanted us to be carted to the field, so we didn't have to walk all the way back to the stadium. And one time, Woody jumped on the back of the cart with his legs dangling, hanging with us to go. So he definitely is out there for sure as far as being embraced by the fans. But I'm sure the reaction sometimes is negative when he does it. But I'm sure when John walks the concourse around UBS, he's probably embraced.
Talk about being embraced, Peter. You know what we have coming up next? It's a total surprise.
Yeah. Mm.
We got a list, a Daily right. Don.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's about.
I don't know how you feel, but if you feel it, if you're feeling it, I think it's going to be good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
And I decided to go with a list today, and it is driven by Nissan.
Wow.
Happy 92nd birthday to the great Robert Duvall. Top five Robert Duvall movies.
Oh, my.
He's Godfather. A legend. I've got The Godfather, of course, Consigliere. I've got it at number two on my list. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, didn't win. Of course, you're going to conclude Godfather 1 and 2. He decided not to participate in 3, and that character is legendary. But I've got it at 2 because there's another one that floats my boat a little bit more.
At 2. This is a weird one to me. I'm not super dialed in all things Robert Duvall, but I'm going to throw in any chance, just because you're Don, that you threw in the Tarantino vehicle.
The Tarantino vehicle?
You know, that his like second movie that Brad Pitt was in with Michael Rapaport and, you know, I guess, no.
True Romance?
True Romance.
I don't remember Robert
Who are you
Duvall
taking out?
True Romance.
Is it Robert Duvall? He's his father.
No, that's Dennis Hopper.
Oh, sad.
What's wrong with you? You ruin everything.
By the way, Don, you moron.
The Daily
what do you
Don.
Think it is?
He's right. And by the way, it's a written by Tarantino vehicle, not directed.
It's a Tony Scott vehicle.
How about the great Santini, Don?
Well, the great Santini as Bill Mitchum, nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I have it at number 4. Not one of my favorite movies, but you know what? His performance is great.
I'm going to use Google in this case because I don't.
You
have
know what? That's what Michael does.
Either that, or he calls someone for help. How about? This is hard, Don, because I have to think about who you are as a man.
Right.
You know, deep down inside.
Well, if you know me, you know something that's definitely on this list.
Oh,
two
come
of them.
On, this is easy.
There's one. Is he's giving us a hint?
Yeah, it's one of the most quotable lines.
And also, this guy he loves, like, terrible things to look at. He's just that guy. He loves gore.
Al?
I don't mean Leslie.
Oh. You went Leslie.
Yeah.
Or Tipper.
I could have gone Al, but he invented the internet. He doesn't need me.
So which one are you thinking? Tell me that.
Apocalypse then. Now.
Oh, of course.
Come on. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. That gasoline smell just smells like victory. He was actually nominated Best Supporting Actor. Wasn't in the movie very long, but it was very impactful. I have it at number one. It's one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite performances. Love him in that. So Apocalypse Now, one. Godfather's one and two at two. The Great Santini at four. I need a three and I need a five. The third one is not one of my favorite movies, but I'll give you a hint. It's the only Oscar he ever won, so I had to put it in there. And the other one is one of my favorite all-time movies. And also, hint, 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 one of my favorite all-time television shows.
That's MASH.
There you go, MASH. That's very good. Frank Burns' character in MASH, classic 1970. I've got it at number five.
Oh, boy.
Only Oscar.
Was that supporting actor?
No, that's actually lead actor.
Wow, good for him.
Can I guess again, Peter? Because it looks like you are retiring.
Yeah, you're struggling.
I'm looking at this list.
He's in Dennis Hopper's bio right now. Tender Mercies, Max Sledge, Best Actor, number three, Tender Mercies. So five, MASH, four, The Great Santini, number three, Tender Mercies, number two, The Godfathers, and number one, Apocalypse Now. Other movies that were under consideration, Days of Thunder, he was very good in that. I just couldn't put it in the top five. Deep Impact, which I think is the worst of the apocalyptic comic movies.
Because you have terrible taste.
No, Armageddon's way better. Falling Down, he's the detective there. Also a great performance, didn't put it in.
How about
and
Colors?
A cameo. Colors is good, too, but people don't even realize he was in this because he was in for a brief time and it didn't look like him. He's in Sling Blade.
Oh, wow.
He was.
As his father. Remember he goes to visit him, Peter? You don't even know it's Robert Duvall. That's how good a job he did.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.